Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was Wow Wednesday, and we started off with our girlfriend Vivian, and those COVID numbers, well, they were rather low yesterday morning, yes, and we only had one state that got an increase, yes, that was the state of Colorado. And it's been a minute since Colorado has been in our top five. Well, the people going off, hitting on our children. Yes, as a man was charged for the punching in the face of a 9-year-old girl in Central Park, as well as 7-year-old girl. She received some grazed body part in her stomach, yes, by a bullet. Oh my goodness gracious. So we gotta pray. It seems to be an attack on our children even while they're with adults. You know, years ago, you know, we've been talking about you can't leave your kids. Well, we're not leaving our children. That's not the issue. They're under attack even in our own backyard. Well, how about the opera production of the Emmett Till story, but with a twist? All of the people on the other side of the fence are talking about all the things that they did to merge and come together and, you know, do what they needed to do for the cause. Well, the petitions were being signed that opera production would not go on. Now, I got to find out if that even happened. Yeah, we have to get a little update and find out whether those signed petitions even rendered the result that they were going after. You know, the Emmett Till, as bad as that story was, how could you even think of introducing the issue of, you know, whether they helped or not, or how much they contributed? Really? Really? Why are we even talking about you, other than the fact that it was one of you who caused such a heinous murder, that's what we're going to call it, because that's what it was. You know, you should be talking about how still we are under a high level of injustice when it comes to, you know, the treatment and the policing, and yeah, Yeah. If we're going to talk, let's talk. Come on now. Come on. It's just ridiculous. Quite ridiculous, in my opinion. Okay? And clearly in 11,000 other people's opinion as well. Yeah. So, you know, Vivian, she brought us some good news yesterday. Now, we had our ladies in the house yesterday. You know, Wednesday is now officially Women's Day on the Due Time with Pastor Steph. And we talked about how we can honor parents even when we, you know, we feel they don't deserve it. And that was like, oh, my goodness gracious. You know, it's a lot. It's a lot when you think about, you know, this issue with whether parents should, you know, should be honored, whether they deserve it or not. Because, you know, it's really up to the individual. Yeah, kind of up to the individual. And it's up to the individual whether they want to honor the parent or not. But it's God who has already spoken on this issue. Yes, he's already spoken on this topic in his commandment. Honor your mother and father that your days may be long. Yeah, you know, that's the only commandment with a promise. Let's talk about what we talked about yesterday. Okay, well, the ladies talked about the fact that we need to forgive their transgressions. I think you can't even begin to honor your parents if you don't even start there. Yeah, how are you going to do all the other stuff we spoke, you know, the lady spoke about yesterday if you don't even start off with the forgiveness? Yeah, because we talked about extending mercy and sharing the gospel and acts of kindness. If you don't even put it in your heart to forgive them for whatever it is you feel, you know, from what they've done, then there's no way in the world you're going to be able to share the gospel with them, which is one of the other things that, you know, they say, you know, we can honor our parents by doing, sharing the gospel. And that one really, you know, in my closing, it really touched me personally, you know, and I talked about that one. You know, I'm going to come back to that one. But, you know, they talked about acts of kindness, you know, just really doing some things that, you know, it would be nice. It would be nice. You treat your parents nice. You maybe take them out to breakfast or bring breakfast in, you know, like was suggested yesterday. You know, bring suggestions in. Bring breakfast in. You know, just little things. You could take them to a movie. You know, sit and watch a movie with them. You know, I remember when my mother first came in to live with us, I would go in her room and watch. We had our favorite shows that, you know, that we would watch together. You know, that's why, you know, a little acts of kindness, the little things that we can do to help their life, you know, move a little better. Here's another one that I really, really liked, and it was teach your children to honor and extend mercy to their grandparents. And that one is really special to me. You know, as I was able to have my grandparents, my grandmothers rather, to, you know, into a very late time in my life, it was really a blessing. Really a blessing to have them. And, you know, you teach your children to really love their grandparents. And, you know, I didn't even really want to say the extend the mercy, because you know, I guess sometimes they do, the grandchildren do become privy to the information and the lack thereof sometimes, you know, based on the situation, you know, because if you don't naturally start out loving your grandparents, then your children might know why. But my thing is, whatever happened between you and your parents needs to stay there. That doesn't need to become, like, common knowledge throughout, you know, your children's, you know, understanding and you know, their life. That ain't got nothing to do with them. Just teach them how to love that generation, you know, the generations that come above you. You know, we had a big family, and we just knew everybody because we always spent time together. And that's, like, beautiful, you know, when you can look at, you know, the extended and extended and extended family. You know, just layers and layers and layers of aunts and uncles. And, yeah, it's just an amazing, amazing thing. You know, so there's so many ways to honor your parents. And one of the things that I really like is the fact that you're honoring God. You know, it's God who has taught you. It's the same thing with your husband, you know, or your wife. When we talk about submitting and people have issues with submitting, you know, I mean, issues with submitting. And, you know, I try to explain to them, well, I got to be honest, this ain't got nothing to do with you and your wife or you and your husband. This has everything to do with you and God. Because we wouldn't even know about submitting if we didn't, you know, hear it from God. Yeah, that wouldn't be a part of our thought process. No, if we really did not hear it from God. And, you know, now that God is showing what he wants in the word, then, you know, honoring your parents really come from God again. So, you know, you can have a really good relationship with the Lord when you can't do what he says based on man. And that's really a big thing. Wow. Wow, did I just say that? Yeah. You know, we allow man to dictate, you know, what we do and how we treat them. And not male, but man, you know, our fellow people, humans who walk this earth. You know, we always allow them to dictate, you know, what we do or what we don't do. And we really gotta think about that thing there. You know, we talk about all these different things. You know, pray for the parent who mistreated you. Pray. Well, you couldn't pray for the parent who mistreated you if you didn't have a relationship with God and you were praying in the beginning. See, you see how all of this gets connected? Yeah. So we really had a good conversation yesterday, and I really believe that that particular topic was really a blessing to a lot of people, because a lot of people have issues with their parents. Yeah, a lot of people have issue with their parents. And, you know, when I closed yesterday and I really went into how, you know, just honoring the parents, you know, with praying for them and bringing them, you know, sharing the gospel. I thought about, after I hung up, I thought about the fact that, you know, I talked about in the closing, I talked about, you know, how you put on the side, you know, or I put on the side, let me make this personal. I put on the side, you know, anything that, you know, they had not done right, or my mother had not done better or whatever. And one of the things that I really always gave her credit for was she took us to church. Yeah, growing up, she literally took us to church. She didn't send us. You know, we walked to church. We took the bus to church. At one point, you know, when we were living far enough, we took the 2 trains and a bus to church, or 1 train and a bus to church. And she literally took the time to take us to church. And the thing that I really rejoiced about after I hung up and disconnected from the broadcast was she was able to get a return. Oh, she was able to get a return on her investment. Oh, did I just say that? Wow. You know, with all that was done, she was able to get an investment on her, a return on her investment, rather. And I thought about all the time she took us, and like I said, we walked, or we took the bus, or we took the train and the bus, however we got there. And later, God used me to draw her to Christ. Yeah. So had she not taken the time to, you know, take us, then I wouldn't have had it to then later give it back to her. Yeah. And man, we used to fuss. Yeah, because she was set in her way, her thought process, her thought pattern. But yet, now let me show you how the investment also, she got a return. So she took a break from coming to church. And in the interim, the young people, you know, they were still there, and new ones came. And she came back and she met some of the newer members. And of course, like I always say, they're young people. And there was an issue that she had, and they took let me tell you something. I watched these kids, and I call them kids respectfully. I watched them pour into her over this subject. Oh, when I tell you, they took everything they had learned, whether it was Bible verses, whether it was sermons, whether it was Sabbath school lessons, whether it was their own experiences, and they poured into her. They were like, come on, Miss Ernie, you could do it. This is what we've learned. They poured into her, and she was able to move past it, the biggest hurdle of her life, because of them. Yeah. They were really, because I had worked an hour. I couldn't do anything else. But what I had taught, what God gave me to teach these young people, they were now, so look at how the layers of blessing came back to her. So she invested in her daughter. Her daughter invested in lives, and those same lives came back to invest back into her. When I tell you watch God, I'm telling you to watch God. And I'm talking about sharing the gospel, honoring your parents by sharing the gospel, and look at how God moved. Man, I marvel at God. And I thought about this when I hung up. And I was like, Dad, because I didn't get a chance to really, you know, I could have gone on and on and on. You know, as I'm sure you could see yesterday in the closing. And I was so mad because I had said so much, but I didn't get to say that part. And about, you know, her getting a return on the investment, because that's something that I always talk to God about, how I marvel at that, you know. And I look at my, you know, Shantice, my relationship with Shantice, and, you know, how our dynamic is, and how how wonderful our relationship is. And boy, can we battle. But what an investment. What a return on the investment. And, you know, you really can't be God-given. Oh, man, I tell you. Oh, my goodness, you can't be God-given. He is awesome. He is really an awesome wonder. And I think about that a lot. I'm like, I wonder if she thought about, you know, the fact that she took us and it all blessed her in the end. Wow. So, you know, there's a lot to be said as to how we can honor our parents. And my prayer is, you know, we talk about a lot of topics every day. And we've been at this almost 2 years. So think about all the topics we've talked about. But this one in particular, I told you before how, you know, in this entire congregation, almost everybody had an issue with their father. Almost every single individual, only a couple of us, did not have issues with our father. And I think about this particular topic coming up and how this topic could be such a blessing to all the individuals who have issues with their parents. Yeah. Yeah. How those ladies spoke yesterday, and it allowed for so much more thinking after the broadcast was over. So, you know, we really got to give God thanks. We really have a lot to give God thanks about. And I always talk about that investment. Always thank you, God, for the investment, because I realize that, you know, that's equivalent to saying he brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. He had to invest in me. He had to invest into you in order to give you the light that you need. You know, we could not be brought out of darkness into his marvelous light if God never continued to pour into us. No, you ain't going to be brought out of darkness into his marvelous light with one lesson. Whether you go to Sunday school, Sabbath school, you know, divine worship on a Sunday or Sabbath, it doesn't matter. If God does not continue to pour into you, there's not going to be that transition, you know, out of darkness into his marvelous light. It has to be a level of time, effort. God is just doing his thing day in and day out. And think about this, you know, waking us up every day with brand new tender mercies. Oh, forget it. If that didn't exist, there would not be an out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, you could forget that one. So, you know, let's salute God. Let's honor God, you know, as we learn how to, you know, honor our parents. We can't honor our parents in any shape, form, or fashion until we honor God. Oh, wow. So, that's how we spent our yesterday. Oh, goodness, only 24 hours in a day. And look at what happened yesterday. In all of 2 hours. Yes. So today is Therapeutic Thursday. Yes. Today we discuss our health, whether it be mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, financial, any kind of health, you know, we got, you know. And I'm just kind of mellow but excited today, or mellow and on fire today. That's what I should say, because it's like this stir, but I'm tired because I haven't been getting much sleep lately. And I realize that God has been like, yeah, giving me stuff. So you can't sleep and get stuff at the same time, at the same level. You know, God could give you stuff in your dreams, but it ain't like what he could give you when you're awake. So, you know, kind of like a silent roar going on when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, all he's done for you. You know, Lady Tamika wasn't feeling too well last night. Pastor Charlene, you know, wasn't feeling too well. And, you know, I look here and I see their numbers. And, you know, God is good. That's why I say, you know, I'm not only excited for Stephanie, I'm excited for you too. You know, what has God brought you through? I look at Auntie Brenda and Auntie Pam's number. They show up every day, and they're not well. They're not, you know, they ain't no spring chicken. They ain't our age and running up and down and going to work every day. And, yeah, them days are over for them. But yet every day they're tuning in to see what God has for them. At least that's what I think they're tuning in for. Not just the entertainment side of it, but to really see what God, you know, is pouring in. And what are you pushing past to be on here with us each and every day? Are you going to work? Are you getting ready for work? Are you, you know, what are you doing? You going to the doctor, or, you know, you're going to take your kid to the babysitter, or your grandchild, or, you know, what are you doing every day? What are you doing every day that God shows he's investing in you? You know, that there, you've got this therapeutic Thursday every day. Yeah, God is amazing. God is amazing. So, you know, we're gonna take the moment to get that healthy breakfast, to let a friend know that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And don't go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
I'm HIV positive. I'm like the person that no one would ever believe would have it, but this is what AIDS looks like today. Unbeknownst to me, I'm walking around thinking everything's okay. Bam! I got AIDS. AIDS do not discriminate. AIDS love everybody. If you don't use a condom, oh, honey, AIDS coming. Just trust me. Every 8 seconds, somebody dies of AIDS. So check yourself, baby.
Well, good morning, good morning, and good morning to you. Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and it is Therapeutic Thursday. Yeah, you know, we have the PSA this month, you know, HIV and women with HIV and AIDS awareness. And what an introduction. What an introduction. You know, I always talk about how good God is. Well, I got to tell you, I do not eliminate the factor of how many times, you know, we've messed around out here and had unprotected sex. You know, how many times people, that's just their lifestyle. They never think to cover themselves. And, you know, even if we've done it one time to cover ourselves, that was careful. And look at how many of us are still walking around and blessed. A lot to be said as to how good and how great God is. You know, you got a lot to give God thanks about. I'm telling you, you can't beat God given. Can't beat God given. Giving. Let me make sure I say that right, because it makes it sound like I'm saying giving. So, all right. Now, I came across this little topic here. And I was like, oh, okay, I could get with this. We're talking about foods that help your high blood pressure. Yeah, we've kind of talked about this before, but when I looked at it, a little different. You know, it's a little different in the way we, you know, what we've talked about. And cheese, they say be careful of the cheese you eat because certain cheeses contain more sodium than seawater. Now, you know there's a whole lot of salt in seawater, and they're saying that there is there's so much salt in certain types of cheese, and they say that if you want to cut down on the sodium, go for mozzarella, cottage cheese, and low-sodium cheese. Yeah. Well, you know, anytime you put cheese on your food, you have to put less salt because the cheese is salty. So they're talking about cheese. Be careful of that cheese intake. Soda. Wow. They say participants in this survey they took who drank more than one sweetened beverage a day had high blood pressure. And the more they drank, the higher the pressure went. Yeah. So they say the high blood pressure is contributed by the glucose, fructose, and salt that's in soda. Yeah. And we don't even think about the fact that there's salt in soda. No. You know, you always get, oh, don't drink the soda because it's high in sugar and there's you have your diabetes to worry about. Nah, man, they're talking about this salt intake. Oh, all right. Deli meat. Now, we always talk about the processed foods, but they say that, you know, we're talking about that deli meat. They say even low-sodium turkey has quite a bit of salt in it. And they say that salami, oh, well, we know. I remember when I was eating pork years and years and years and years ago in my former life, I loved Genoa salami. You know, the little one. Oh, man, the salt would like, oh, man, just, oh, mm-mm-mm. So they say, you know, let's stay away from the deli meat. And they bring up the fact that when we eat the sandwiches, not only, or even plain deli meat, they say we're eating it with chips. Ah, sodium. We're eating it with pickles. Sodium. So we're just loading on the sodium when we're eating the sandwiches. Okay? All right. Coffee. Especially espresso. They say espresso spikes the blood pressure. Yeah. More than the plain coffee. So be careful if you drink that espresso. Okay. Let's see what else they got here. Oh, they say canned tomato products. Yeah. They say it marinara sauce, tomato juice. How about, you know, V8 juice drinkers? Yep. They say that sneaky salt. They say you do better going ahead and cutting you up some regular tomatoes. And I remember Grandma. You know, Grandma. Grandma always had those sliced tomatoes on that plate with her grits and eggs. She had that sliced tomato. So they say go for the sliced tomato. Stay away from those jars and cans of tomato products. Okay. The other thing they talk about is red meat. Yeah. Red meat. They say stick with fish and more chicken. They say the red meat pushes up the hypertension. Okay. And it also, they say overcooking our meat raises our blood pressure. Can you imagine that? Yeah. They say when our bodies become inflamed, that it pushes up the blood pressure. Okay. And they say be careful of your condiments. Yep. Your soy sauce. Yeah, stuff like that. Teriyaki sauce. Yeah. Barbecue sauce. Certain salad dressings. Yeah, they say all of that stuff has, you know, the ability to push up your blood pressure. Okay, so, you know, I wanted to talk about those sneaky ways getting that blood pressure up. And like I said, we've talked about high blood pressure tons of times, but not in that manner, not in that manner. Okay. So we'll be talking about today as far as as far as our news. So now we've been talking about these kids going wild, kids going buck wild, and they have an article about these Iowa teens. Well, they give a new meaning to hating your teacher. They have been charged, two 16-year-old boys have been charged with beating their Spanish teacher to death with a baseball bat. And how did they get caught? Come on, that's it. Yes. Why are you bragging about this on social media? Yes. So they say that the body was discovered with trauma to her head under a tarp, a wheelbarrow, and railroad ties. And she had been missing, and not missing for long. I don't know how they ended up, you know, with the, well, I guess the kids bragging about it. One of the kids who read their Snapchat turned them in. And they lured her and then beat her to death. And, you know, can you imagine, you know, being beat to death with a baseball bat by your students? Oh, my goodness. Now, here's the thing. They say they don't even have a clue as to why. The kids have not spoken up as to why they've done this thing here. Okay? They say that her car was caught leaving, you know, some park on the day, you know, her body was uncovered. And when they found her, that's when they saw the condition that she was in, and they killed her like that. It's horrible. It's horrible. And again, they don't know why. They don't have a clue as to why. They even killed her. They haven't been able to get these kids to talk, to find out what happened. And you know the sad part about it is all the stuff that we've been reading, they may not have even had motive in particular. In other words, it may not have been something she did to them. Yeah. You know, we haven't been able to get sense out of a lot of these things these kids are doing these days. They just do what they do. And, you know, if you did something that they didn't like or you said something that they didn't like or whatever, you know, now that's when they're doing this stuff to you. But they don't really have to have no rhyme or reason. So, oh, gosh, I don't know. Well, speaking of children, they say 7 young children, including an infant and 3 toddlers, overdosed on sleeping pills in Virginia. Now, check this out. The sleeping pills were handed out by a 7-year-old in the home. They say when the police responded to the residence at 5:30 in the afternoon, 4 children ages 1, 2, 3, and 4 were unresponsive. 3 other youngsters under the age of 8 had also consumed the pills, but they were awake. Now, they don't know how this kid, 7 years old, got his hands on the pills, on the sleeping pills, but they do know that the kids were left alone by an adult who was supervising them, who, are you ready, went to the corner store. So here's my thing. Now, I have to open up several bottles of pills. And sometimes, based on how bad my hands are hurting, I can't even open up the bottle. So I'm trying to figure out, well, how in the world did you get your hands on some sleeping pills? Where were the pills? Now, listen. The person who was supervising them went to the corner store. Yeah. How long did it take for you to go to the corner store? Wow. How long did it take for you to go to the corner store and the kid that quickly gave out the pills and caused all this damage? How long you were at the corner store? Because you ain't went to no corner store. Nah. Listen, I live in the middle of the block and we got a corner store. Ain't nowhere in the world, by the time I go to the corner store and come back, all this damage going to be done. The kid going to get the pills, open up the bottle, if they were in a bottle, open up the bottle and give them out. It takes a minute to even give them out and for the kids to swallow them and for them to take effect. Now, we know that being that they're babies, you know, the pills are going to take effect, you know, quite rapidly, but it ain't going to be that quick. So, nah, ain't nobody went to no corner store. What were you doing that you were not in the house that this kid had this chance to do all of this stuff? Man, I tell you, we got to really, 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 really pay attention to what's going on in our homes. I don't know. Like I said, I don't have a clue as to how this kid would have gotten his hands or her hands on the pill bottle. Where was the pill bottle? Let's say for argument's sake they were in the pills. The pill bottle, the pills, they weren't loose. How did the kid get to the pill bottle? Oh, many, 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 many unanswered questions. All right, so there's another conversation that I want to have. So we were talking about the homeless and things like that. Well, check this out. They have somehow taken some level of survey, some tally, and they said that there are 2,463 New Yorkers living on the city streets and in the subway system. Now, that must have been like in 1 week they counted, because how are you going to go and get 2,400 people? And that's people. Okay, so let's say this is true. Well, there is a huge uproar because they say there's 2,500 empty city apartments. So almost equal to the amount of apartments there are homeless people, which means that there should be no homeless people. Wow. Wow. Well, think about it this way. You know there shouldn't have been any homeless people because, I'm sorry, right, homeless people, because remember, these are families. Some of these are families. They're not even individuals. They're not saying 2,400 necessarily individuals who wouldn't be sharing a space, because if you got a whole of a family of four, that's one apartment, you know. But 2,500 apartments, empty city apartments. But are you ready for this? They've been earmarked for the homeless. So we're not even talking about just 2,500 apartments, just random apartments. We're talking about apartments that have been allocated for the homeless people. So you know ain't no reason, there's no reason for homelessness out here. Well, first of all, in New York City alone, we have no excuse for homelessness, because all of the empty lots, all the empty buildings, all of the abandoned buildings, there's enough to house these people. Nobody has to be homeless. But especially when they have earmarked these apartments for these homeless people. Now, here's the thing. Eric Adams, you know, I've just been sick of him from day one. Our mayor, he has, you know, it's been his, this is supposed to be his fight. His fight has supposed to been his fight and focus. Let me put it like that. His fight and focus has been the subway system, fighting crime, and homelessness. Now, ain't much many other things that are going to be more important than those two things. So I ain't moved. I'm not moved with him at all. He's just annoying. But they're now questioning yet again. All right, so your fight against homelessness has rendered you what? Okay, so even if this didn't, if this wasn't your fault, if this was the previous administration, now I understand it's only March. It's only March. We're going to April, only 4 months. And you've got to do, you know, all of, you know, your homework. So if they were able to assess that there's 2,463 or how many other people are actually homeless, you know, they had to do that count. You know, that all takes time. And, you know, just to put into place, you know, trying to get these people off the trains. And, you know, now you got to put not just police out there, but now you've got to put, you know, your social services and your therapists, you know, workers out there. Well, you know, this all takes time. You know, that stuff is not going to happen overnight. But now what you going to do? What are you going to do? You know, you should have had this stuff where these places were, you know, ready. And as you get them, you start dropping them into these apartments. And yes, it all takes a minute because there's a lot of things that need to be done. However, come on. How long are you going to keep talking about this? You know, as they say, don't talk about it, be about it. So how long is it going to take you to get this all up and running? You know, hopefully soon, you know, all of this can be addressed. But, you know, everybody's mouths are dropping open with how it's almost equivalent. The count is almost equivalent to the amount of apartments itself, you know. And, you know, in all of your ideas and thoughts, and you still have to get the money, you know, to get these people, you know, fixed up and situated, because you just can't take a homeless person and put them in an apartment, give them a key and walk off. I get that. That's not what I'm talking about. But again, you know, what are you doing? How far in the process, you know, have you gotten to, you know, now getting this stuff taken care of? You know, now that you've gotten these people out of the trains, you know, or at least even if you got a quarter of them out of the trains, you know, they're again talking about the shelter system and how those are really still not good. You know, they said that still has a long way to go. They say that the safety and the sanitation alone in the city shelters really leave a lot to be desired. And they also are looking to put mental health workers onto the premises of the shelters, which makes sense because you're gonna have to deal with these people on a regular basis. Again, you can't just throw them into these shelters and walk off. You have to deal with their issues, and if the issue is mental health, then you're gonna have to deal with the mental health of these people. You can't, you know, just not only that, but you can't leave them to go to appointments and things like that. You do need something on site. So, again, I do understand that all of these things take time, but, you know, that's something that we need to keep lifted in prayer, you know, that these things are being addressed on a regular basis, and, you know, they're making some headway with all of this, you know? So, you know, I'll stop there. I got some other news, but I'll stop there to chat with our Due Time crew members, you know, and I'll start with our lady Tamika, since she seems to be the earliest one on. Good morning, Tamika.
Good morning. Hey, how are you this morning?
I am okay, thank you. The question is, how are you?
Oh, my goodness. I am doing so much better. I can't really tell you. Throughout the day yesterday, my allergies were bothering me, and it got really, really worse to the point that I couldn't even focus. I couldn't think. And so I called it a day early, and I'm medicated and slept real, real good, and I'm doing much, much better today.
Amen. Giving God thanks for you're feeling better. Let's talk about this stuff here. So you got these two teens, 16 years old, who have bragged on social media about beating the Spanish teacher to death with a bat, Tamika. Oh, I can't. They left her under a wheelbarrow, some garbage. They just, oh, my God, they just did her so wrong. What's going on with these kids? What kind of, okay, so here's the thing. Here's the question that I want to ask. And we have gone over this many a day. I want to talk about this part. So, of course, they want to do the juvenile thing, put them in the juvenile system. And right now the judge is like, absolutely not. The attorneys are talking their rights at 16 years old. They don't want them tried as adults. What do you do with these kids? What do you do? We're talking about you then took this woman. You don't have a reason why you beat her in the head to death with a baseball bat. And they want to talk about your 16-year-old rights.
This is such a heinous crime, you know, just and then to not have a reason why. You know, there's not that much daring in the world, you know, because the average person has compassion, you know. I watch certain movies, and I see just a drop of blood, and I'm turning my head. You're talking about I'm party to actually watching somebody beat someone in the head, brutalize somebody in the head with a bat. And then, of course, because you're so young, you don't have any common sense. You put her under a wheelbarrow and tarp. What, you know, I just, I'm not getting it, you know. These children are just getting worse and worse and worse. I understand, you know, that at a young age you may not be able to handle your emotions, but to that degree, and you can't even give me a legitimate reason why you did it, it completely doesn't make sense.
Yeah, this is bad. You know, I'm looking here and it says one of the kids' hearing was delayed because his attorney is fighting to suppress evidence. Really? Really? Really?
I feel like when it's heinous like that, especially at the age that you're in, it doesn't make a difference because who thinks of doing something like that? Whether you're 12 or 22 or 42, who literally comes up in their mind and says, okay, I'm going to hurt somebody today to the degree that I kill them?
With a baseball bat.
Right.
We ain't even talk about you got mad, got a gun, and shot somebody. You literally beat somebody to death with a baseball bat. That's over and over and over and over and over and over.
Exactly.
This is crazy. What in your mind, what's the punishment?
I can't see them not being tried as an adult with the heinousness of that. And just like you said, over and this is not a one-hit wonder. You know, you're hitting her continuously and watching the body dissolve, or not dissolve, but it's destroyed. Each time that you hit, you cause more and more damage to the brain and all of the other stuff. No, you should definitely be tried as an adult.
All righty. Who else is being tried as an adult when you didn't left the sleeping pills and the 7-year-old gets an opportunity to pass those around? I can't.
Truly,
that's a corner store.
Truly not understanding that. I have problems trying to get into, you know, the detergent, you know, how they have the pods. And they,
yes.
How in the world, you know, did you leave the bottle completely open? And the average person, you know, just out of common sense, when you open up a bottle of medication, you close it back. You seal it. Especially considering that you know you've got children in the house. There are certain things that as a guardian, as someone watching over the children, there's certain safeguards that you leave, you know, that you automatically make sure. And where did they move the corner to? The next burrow?
Right.
The corner store.
Right.
How long did it take you to go? Did you have a conversation with somebody? Are you chilling out on the corner? Did you get a beer? What? How long did it take you to get to the corner? We're talking the corner store. I mean, the corner, you know, right about
now.
I'm not getting it.
Me either. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Those were the ages of the children, and they were unresponsive. They were unresponsive by the time the people got there, which meant that you were gone for a minute. You were gone for a minute. I don't know. And they say the other three kids who were also under the age of 8, they were still awake. So somehow or another, their bodies didn't respond to these sleeping pills the same way, but again, and it's funny because you have this issue of you want your children to see you take medication because, you know, we're trying to teach them to be responsible, blah, 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 blah. You know, and you know what, we have to, you know, teach them, you know, this is because they have to take vitamins and all kind of things. But on the flip side of that, you have this issue of you don't want them to see you taking the medicine because now they, you know, imitate putting stuff in their mouth and things like that. So it's like a catch-22 situation. What do you think?
I do agree. But I'm just looking at all those lives, you know, that will never get an opportunity to, you know, do anything. And just thinking about the thought of coming back to the house and seeing this travesty. You know, oh my gosh, my heart just goes out, you know, to the family members that, you know, or the parents of all these children, you know, and what happens now?
Absolutely. I don't think, wait, hold on, let me just make sure. I don't think they were, no, they, thank God they weren't dead. I don't think they were, I don't think they died. I just think they suffered from an overdose, but they were able to save them. I don't think they perished. Yeah, okay. I'm not getting, yeah. Thank God for that, because that really would have been a mess. So
I'm sorry. We think about when we leave our children in somebody else's hands,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking as a parent, when I ask you what happened, oh, I just went to the corner store. That's not going to be acceptable for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear I just went to the corner store. That mm-hmm. you know, you can't legitimize that with that. You're going to have to come up with something far greater. The corner was on fire and you were trying to find a way to get the children out. You're going to have to come up with a far greater story than I just went to the corner store.
Yeah. Because clearly this is not, this was the guardian, because that's the way they put it. This was the guardian. This is not the parent. So, you know, and again, you know, who are we leaving our children with? So a lot to think about. But thank you so much for joining us this morning. So happy, you know, and grateful to God that you're able to feel better and to be with us today. We'll be back to continue this conversation. Let's say good morning to Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. The question is, how are you today?
Every day is getting a little better and better, so I thank God for that.
Amen. Thank God for his healing power. All right, so what kind of punishment for the 16-year-old who beat this Spanish teacher to death? You know, they've got rights and they're being protected, and you know they're holding up hearings because you know some of the evidence has been they came across the evidence, but it hasn't been the way it was obtained was illegal. What are we doing with these kids?
I say treat them as an adult. The teacher, she had rights too, and you took that away from her. So to me, it's a hate crime. Nowadays, they don't have to have a reason. They do it just because they can.
Yep.
And a lot of times, you know, they don't have to do nothing to you, say nothing to you, look at you no kind of way. You know, these kids nowadays, they just don't think. That's just what they do. They just go by their feelings, and this is what I feel like doing, you know, and the lady didn't have a chance. So, therefore, your rights went. When you took her rights, your rights went as well, because you, like you said, with a bat to give you a chance, I might have hit you the first time. But the second time, I'm going to snap out of it and think about what I'm doing. But to constantly keep hitting, when you constantly, that means that you continue to hit. And then even if you visualize of something that your mother, you know, it could have been something that a woman has done to them to make them lash out, you know. So we'll never know, because the mental, like we talk about mental issues all the time. So something is wrong with them for them to decide that they want to beat. And you know you're crazy when you put it on Facebook, because that's what I'm sure it's on Facebook.
Yeah, it's a Snapchat.
You know?
Snapchat.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Okay. This is that, all of them. So
yep.
When you put it on social media.
Right.
So when you put it on social media, you're opening it up to that. I thought that this was okay to do. You didn't think you was going to get caught.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And thank God one of the kids who read it
actually was the one who submitted it to the cops. So, you know, somebody your age has some sense. So, no, you need to be, you need to be tried as an adult, whether you go to a mental institution or whatever. It needs to be on the adult level, because it enough is enough with this here. Goodness gracious. All right. What are we doing with the guardian who left the sleeping pills out and all the children have now ingested the sleeping pills, but God spared everybody's life? Mm.
Thank the Lord first. We thank God for that he spared their lives. Definitely under the jail. Under the jail, because you can't even imagine of how you telling the parents this, first of all, and I agree. What store did you go to? You didn't go to no store. You was high. You was high.
Yep.
And you was doing whatever that you wanted to do at that moment. And one thing about the children watch what we do. So a lot of people cannot take a whole pill. They mash it, right? So this child mashed it and put it in their milk, because these are babies. They can't swallow no pill. So you think about them mashing it, and then you think about how fast things happen. You don't have to leave the house, and you can leave the room, you know, or turn around, and something just that quick can happen. So that person right there, well, I'm just going to say they need to go to jail.
Absolutely. You know, I didn't even think about the swallowing of the pill. I didn't even think, you're right, because you're talking about 1, 2, 3, and 4. You know, listen, Shantice has a hard time swallowing a pill. You know, and I know many other people who can't take pills. You know, the pill is too big, pill's too long, pill is this, pill is that. They can't. So you're right when you think about 1, 2, 3, and 4 years old swallowing. But you're right. I didn't even cross my mind, Pastor Charlotte. So you're right. You think about the way these children ended up ingesting, you know, these pills, and it's a lot to think about now. So, good point. Well, thank you, God, for allowing you to be healed well enough to join us. And we'll be back. We got more to talk about. Let's talk to Shantice. Ooh. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning. Good morning to everyone.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, I'm well. What kind of time we giving these 16-year-olds for beating the teacher in, you know, to death with the baseball bat?
That was horrible. I agree with the kids getting charged as an adult. That wasn't a child of a crime that was committed. So yeah, they should get tried as an adult. That took a lot of thought and energy to do that.
Okay.
So a lot of thought and energy should possibly, you know, go into. And in addition to, you know, I do feel like a lot of that time that he's going to get needs to go to mental, you know, some type of mental health. You know, any time, you know, there's a crime of, like, stabbing or something like that. You know, it's like, oh, this was personal. There's always something like that. So for you to do something like that so young, I definitely feel like there needs to be a lot of mental work, you know, going on. But, yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, you know, Pastor Sharlin talked about that dynamic of, you know, oh, do we hate women? Are we thinking about, you know, what our moms did or grandma did or whomever else, you know, may have done something to us. And, you know, you're right. You're just at 16 years old. And that's why I'm like, you know, something's wrong. Something's wrong big time. Something's wrong that you could actually carry out this thing here and be okay. You know, and be okay. And the both of you look at one another and then turn around and put it on Snapchat.
So y'all done talked, yeah. y'all done laughed, you know, and now this is what we subsequently do after we bury you under a tarp and wheelbarrow and some other stuff. So, yes, definitely there needs to be, you know, some addressing of your mental state. And but it needs to be on an adult level. You don't need to be on no kids level. I'm sorry. Because something about that is not balancing. So you've always said that you cannot imagine yourself living in a place that don't have a corner store. Now, Tamika asked a very, very important question. How far is the corner store? Did we move the corner store? What is going on where we have an opportunity for these children to have ingested all of this while you were gone to the corner store?
You ain't going to no corner store because you don't shop at the corner store. When you go to the corner store, you pretty much know what you're going there for. You know, you may end up, you know, you may go there for one thing and you might come out with five. But it's very rare for you to go and you say, oh, I'm just going to go, you know, look and see what they have. And, you know, so for you to go to the corner store, come back and all of that happen, that wasn't a corner store you went to, unless you went to a corner store in another community. But now, which corner store? Did you go to your corner store or did you go to your cousin's corner store? Because this, no. That wasn't a corner store run. And that's the point of a corner store. It's quick. 1, 2, 3. Get the bag of chips and sunflower seeds, maybe a soda, and get up out of there. There's no shopping and there's no aisles in the corner store, so what are you in there doing?
Just a lot of unanswered questions. Mm-hmm. A lot of unanswered questions here. And, you know, we're giving God thanks that, you know, these lives, you know, were not lost, you know, for your store run.
Right.
So, and a lot to give God thanks. A lot to give God thanks about. You know, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you so much for joining us today. We have a lot to talk about. I want to talk about putting God first. You know, there's the topic of putting God first in our lives and different ways and in different areas of us putting God first in our life. And one of the things they talk about is putting God first, and this is not in order. Okay, I definitely want to say that because there's a lot of different things here, but it's not necessarily in order. Putting God first in our reading. What does that mean to you, Tamika?
Well, I'm an avid reader, and one of the things that I know about reading, when you read a word, you say a word. I love to read out loud because I feel like it gets into my spirit. You know, I'm not only just looking at it; I'm actually seeing it, and it's almost as though I'm ingesting it. And as I read it, you know, my knowledge, you know, my grasp for what else can I learn, what else can I acquire is all the more greater in my reading.
Okay. We're talking about putting God first in the things that we do. And one of the things they talk about, not just the things we do, but in our life, let me put it like that, putting God first in our life, Brother Al. What does that mean to you to put God first in your reading? Good morning, Brother Al.
Hey, good morning. I got to say it real quick, Jeremiah 29:11. God said, "For I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord, a plan for welfare, not evil, to give you a future and a hope." Amen. Amen. Let church say amen. Okay. Now.
Amen.
as you were saying, it means a lot. You know, one thing speaking for me, the last thing I read or encounter at night stays on my mind through the night and into the morning. So it's important for me to read God's word. You know, even if I do a prayer, and I've learned that from, you know, studying with school. The last thing that I do at night reflects on me in the morning. And I think it's important because you need to know God's word. Like for me, the Bible stories are just incredible. I'll be reading the stories and I'll be like, wow, yo, that's deep right there. And you learn some things that a lot of stuff that was going on today was going on back then. And this is how this person dealt with it. This is how God dealt with it. And I look at, like, back then people more in the Bible days, God talked with a lot of people. I mean, he talked with people now too, but it was more back then, like, hey, this person was chosen and God told him this and he did it. And if he didn't do it, this is what happened. So it's enlightening to me. And I think it's important because you can relate to a lot of the characters in the Bible and what they might have gone through or what they go through. So I think it's very important to, you know, put that one, like you said, there's no order, but put that first.
Okay, okay. Pastor Sharlin, we're talking about how we prioritize God in our life. In every aspect of our life, we need to learn to put God first. So we're talking about our reading. How should we put God first in our reading?
Well, what I do is I pray first. I ask him for his wisdom, his understanding,
Pastor,
and the revelation.
Pastor Charlotte, I'm sorry. Don't go to the prayer. I need you to stick to the reading because prayer is coming up, and I don't want you to infuse the two. I know where you're going.
Okay.
But I need you to target the reading.
Okay. Okay, I'm trying to get that piece out. All right. In the reading. Reading it and understanding of what I'm reading, in the direction of whatever of the words whatever that I'm reading that knocked me out. Okay. Because it has to go with that to combine together. But is that it?
All right. Let me give you a chance to think.
Okay.
Because the three, so far, it's still, I don't think you're all catching it. Still, you've kind of missed what we're talking about here today. And I'm trying not to say it because I want to give it to you all to say it first. But let's just take a stab at Shanti's, and then we'll come back to you, Pastor Sharlin. Shanti,
okay.
We're talking about putting God first in every aspect of our life. So we're talking about our reading. How do we put God first in our reading? Or how do you put God first in your reading?
Well, for me, I told God that I wanted to commit to reading a verse as soon as I wake up in the morning, and that'd be the last thing I do when I lay down. So when I get up in the morning, I really have to make sure that I remind myself that, and, you know, it's really a learned behavior because, of course, you know, our cell phones, especially if you have, you know, a lot that you do on your phones, you get a whole lot of notifications, and I have to make sure that when I wake up, I read my verse first before I read anything else. I don't care how important. Sometimes I wake up to text messages, and unless it comes from Pastor Steph, then sometimes I got to ignore hers, you know, because that could possibly have me read something else. I have to make sure that I read my verse first, and that's how I make sure I prioritize my reading. You know, reading God's word, that be the first thing that my eyes really focus on in the morning.
Okay, thank you. And Brother Al actually said that as well. So I don't want you to come back at me, Brother Al. You did say that. So thank you.
Thank you much.
Pastor Charlotte, does that help to narrow it down for you, to describe it a little bit for you?
Okay, talking about just reading the word first in the morning to get you started. Is that what you're saying to me?
That's it. Okay. That's if that's what you do, yes. That's what you do, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, you read the word to get you started. And when you read the word, it does open up your day of how you will have your mind set on his word and where that you're able to move forward through the day. So you can keep your mind on the word of God, and therefore you will have a better day.
Okay. Now, Brother Al, putting God first with your work, what does that mean to you? Prioritizing God's work.
Okay, so putting God's work first, okay? That's so important. For me, that's just ministering to people. You know, when somebody's going through something and you're able to tell them, hey, listen, God has not left you. He's there. You know, you just got to call on him. You got to pray. You got to ask him for help, you know. And that's very important. Like I said, for me, speaking to some people, even speaking to the children, you know, there's some children here that I've been speaking to, like sixth graders that know the Lord, and it's amazing. And to able to have that conversation with them on some things that they don't understand or some things I might have missed that they taught me. So I'm like, wow, you know, so that's very important to do God's work. All of us as Christians, we have a work to do for God. We have a work to do that's ministering to people, try to bring people closer to God. So that's a beautiful thing.
All right. Pastor Charlene, you know, how do we put God first with our work?
By showing whatever the job that whatever that God gives you to do in far as your ministry, that you have to be able to not only to tell but to show in what you're doing, and then that way that the person will be able to get it more by seeing that you're doing what you said that God has for us to do.
All right. Shantice, how do you put God first in your work?
Before I do the work that I want to do, I have to make sure that I consult with him to do the work that he has for me to do. And that a lot of times replaces the work that I desire to do, because now if it's not in alignment with his, it then becomes in alignment. But making sure that I prioritize what he's already given me, you know, because there's so many different, you know, sometimes you're thinking, okay, well, God, the work I want to do will bring this result, but the work he's giving you to do will bring the result you were talking to him about a lot quicker or a lot bigger than what you were anticipating. So just making sure that, okay, if I give you this, do this, and then you can respectfully come to me and talk to me about what you would like to do.
Okay. Tamika, talk about putting God first in your work. What does that mean to you?
Honoring God in my work means that I'm always looking for an opportunity to do what he is assigning me to do. Yes, okay, we work a 9-to-5 or whatever hours we work. However, we have another job that's more paramount. We have brothers and sisters out there that need to know about God. And if I may not necessarily be able to verbalize it, I might be able to show it in action. Also, you know, doing your work as unto God. Some days we come into work and you might say, oh, God, this is a stressful day and I don't want to be here. That means that you don't get the right to act out and, you know, to start, you know, displaying attributes that aren't of God. You just continue to do what God is telling you to do so that you push forward past all of the physical stuff and go straight towards the spiritual.
Okay. Pastor Sean, now we could talk about putting God first when it comes to prayer.
Yes. Okay. Without prayer, we can't do anything. Everything that we have said, you've got to pray to God to ask him to lead and guide you so that you know that you're able to be on the same path with him. We don't want to do nothing without prayer, you know, having that conversation, making sure that, you know, we are led and guided by him and by his word. So even in the mix of that, of as we're reading the word, that will keep us focused on what we shall do for him and what we shall not supposed to be doing. So prayer is everything for, you know, can't start off nothing without prayer, can't do nothing without prayer, and should not go to bed without prayer. You know, we wake up with prayer, you know, so prayer plays a big part in everything that we do.
All right. Shantice, prayer, putting God first with our in prayer.
Again, prioritizing who is the first person I speak to when I wake up. You know, making sure that my prayers, my conversations with him through prayer, you know, helps to set the tone for my day, helps to, you know, adjust my attitude, helps to get me focused if I woke up unfocused, whatever the case is. But just making sure that the first conversation that I have, the first person that gets my energy like that is God. So prayer has to be, you know, the first thing as far as communication. It has to be with God.
Okay. Tamika, putting God first in prayer.
Nothing gets done accurately without prayer. You know, I can't function straight without prayer. You know, I need prayer, you know, to start my day. My relationship with God is paramount to anything else. So why not, you know, not only just talk, but also we have to take time to listen. Sometimes it's just time for silence and let him speak to you. So that you know what his plan is, because he will tell you.
Amen. Brother Al, putting God first in prayer. What does that mean to Brother Al?
To Brother Al. Putting God first, how I put God first in prayer, and I pray every morning before I go, you know, I pray out through the day. And the first thing I do, it's not just thank God for everything. You know, a lot of times we go to God and we ask, and we don't take some time out to just say, you know what, God, thank you. Thank you for me waking up with these little aches and pains I got in my knees. Thank you for this breakfast I'm about to eat. You know, so yeah, I think it's very important. So I put God first by thanking him for things first. Then I'll pray for people and things like that. So that's how I started off.
Okay. We're talking about putting God first with our talents. Shantice, how do you get that done?
So the talents that you have are God-given. You have these talents if God did not bless you with them. So now taking those talents and giving them to him first, so meaning whatever talents you have, apply it to his kingdom. You know, use it to serve him and his people. Use it, you know, so if you're singing, making sure you're singing in church. You know, if it's writing, you know, ask God if you can start a newsletter for the church. You know, if it's fashion, see how you can work with, listen, a lot of these people in these churches need a stylist. Work it out. You know, see how you can contribute. See how you can contribute to, you know, your fellow brethren, or, you know, even if it's not someone in the church, but, you know, God is, he feels very heavily, you know, about us just wanting to take care of others, you know. So if it's your family, if it's a coworker, you know, if it's your neighbor, you know, and it's like, you know what, I see that so-and-so could use some clothes, you know, I'd be pretty good with, you know, putting outfits together, or You know, you hear that someone has an event to go to, you know, offering your services, even if it's for free, but doing all of that for God first, you know, before you think about doing it for a personal gain, you know, before you start thinking about doing it as a career to gain income or something like that, just making sure you're contributing to God and his people first with your talent.
All right. All right. All right. Tamika, putting God first in your talent.
Yeah, that is. And you know, people have a tendency to, because we're, sometimes we can be the most negative people in the world, as opposed to looking at the attributes that God has given you. Sometimes mm-hmm. we don't necessarily look at it, you know. I don't do such and such like such and such and such and such like such and such. But you always have something to give, you know, whether it's something as simple as you're a safe driver, you know. You can pick people up and, you know, take them from one point to another. And that doesn't necessarily mean Uber. You know, it's just giving of yourself, that God has given you. If you are a person who likes to give cards, you know, I know an individual, you know, nowadays in the world that we are, there's such technology, you know, it's easy to just send somebody a text or, you know, a nice post on Facebook. But this person is good with sending out cards that really genuinely hit the heart. You know, do what it is that God has given your hands, your mind, your body, and spirit to do, and watch how he blesses others. Not only will he bless others, he will also magnify to you. So that one thing that you think that you have, he'll add to it just because you're obedient and you're doing what he's asking for him for you to do.
All right, all right. Brother Al, how do you bless God first in your talents?
Oh, man, you know, I got into doing some writing. We're writing these plays. And, you know, basically thanking God for the talent, you know, my little skit, gospel skit, you know, to minister his word in my skit, in my writing. You know, sometimes if you're like me, I'm more visual. I learn quick visual than reading. Sometimes I struggle with that, but I have to maybe go over it a couple of times. But when I see it visually, I'm like, wow. And, you know, I remember the first time I wrote something and I did it, and this young man came up to me and was like, yo, I heard everything you said and I got something out of it. So I also have to pray and ask God to make sure that, you know, that I'm studying correctly, that I'm putting the right word out there, because people will see it and be like, okay, I got something out of that. So I got to make sure that I'm doing the right thing. So I put God first in there, that God show, what story should I tell? What do you want me to tell? And make sure I study and that I'm saying the right thing.
Amen, amen, amen. Pastor Charlotte, you put God first in your talents. How does that work for you?
Yes. By with my talent, I will share with God's people, and it will come from the heart. So therefore, that you will give all to it. You know, there's not a number where we say give 100%, but there's not a number that you will be able to bless others and being able to enjoy of blessing them. And where that in the mix of that, where that you're able to teach someone, because it's like if God gives you the spirit of help, you know, of always helping somebody, helping the seniors or helping the children, or, you know, and where that you're able to carry it on and being able to go from one thing to another, because remember, he gives us more than one thing, you know, so therefore that whatever it is, where that you're able to not only to bless the body of Christ, but those that don't even know the body, because that way that talent will be able to draw them in to God, because they will see the God in you. So therefore that you'll be able to, you know, enhance another way of ministering to someone else.
All right, all right. Tamika, our last round, putting God first in our heart.
How do I function with anybody if I don't have God placed in my heart? Not accurately, you know. the fact of having God in your heart keeps you from doing and saying and acting, because we know that people in general can treat us a certain kind of way, and we're not always treated the right way based on what we've done. You know, we talked about this teacher. Could she have done something that bad that caused these youths to act that way? Probably not, most likely not, not causing her death, you know. And so when my brother or sister or when my neighbor offends me, then it is the God in me, the God that's within my heart that won't let me do, that won't let me say, that won't let me act. And I'm grateful to God because he does do that on a daily basis.
Amen, amen, amen. Brother Al, putting God first in our hearts. Brother Al? Okay, maybe we have to skip Brother Al.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I had to sneak off real quick. putting God first in your heart. God, you. Putting God first in your heart is very important. Let me tell you something. If I didn't put God first in my heart, coming to the school work with this kid, I'd be one of them wild stories y'all be reading. So for me, it's very important to put God in my heart because God is love, so that's putting love in my heart. No matter what these kids do or the administration do, I'm able to handle it because I got God in my heart. As soon as something happens, like God got me, and just go forth. So I need that. So it's very important.
Okay. Pastor Charlene, putting God first in your heart, what does that mean to you?
That means for you to ask God to clean your heart. You want him to create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. You want him to be able to move out everything that is not of him and want him to be able to have the Holy Spirit to continue to fill up in your heart. When your heart is right, you will do it no matter how people treat you. When your heart is right, you'll be able to do things that you thought that you would never, ever do. So you always want to ask him to be in your heart, to stay in there for him to be able to be more like him because we are in his image. So therefore, you want your heart to be right and be able to totally give it all to him.
All right. And Shantice, you have the final word today. How do you put God first in your heart?
By doing all of the other points that you hit as well. If he's not first in your heart, then he's not going to be a priority. He's not going to be the top priority. Just making sure that you understand what you mean to him and what he's supposed to mean to you, and, you know, asking him to help keep you obedient and disciplined, because it's very easy to lose focus. It's very easy to push him to the side, you know, for many reasons. One mainly being for me, like, I have to keep remembering, even though I don't see you, God, you see me. So I have to remember that, you know, you're always here, and you feel just like I'm able to feel, and just understanding that, you know, he makes me a priority, you know, and I know that from everything that I'm able to do, despite whether I deserve it or not, you know, the blessings that I get, you know, so how can I not make you a priority? So just always remembering who he is and what he's been doing, and he's not asking me to do anything he hasn't done for me already, not just what he's willing to do for me, but what he has done and is still doing for me already. Just understanding why he is supposed to be the priority will help to keep him as the top priority.
Amen. Thank you. Oh, the Due Time crew for just helping our listeners see how God needs to be put first in every aspect of our life, not just our life in general, but the detailed portion of our life. So I want to thank you, and I pray that you have a wonderful, wonderful, blessed day.
Thank you.
You too.
Okay.
Same,
all right. Well, I would like for, speaking of hearts, I would like for Lady Tamika and Brother Al to bless us with a testimony, you know, that they have. Tamika started, she mentioned something yesterday, and giving them, you know, a few opportunities. You know, we got a couple of minutes, not a few opportunities, we got a couple of minutes, you know, for them to kind of talk. And, you know, we've been on the journey, and they've been on a journey with us. So I'll just open the floor to the two of them.
Well, first I want to start mentioning when we first started on this broadcast, it was just Brother Al. And originally I was just known as the girlfriend, you know, but things have changed, and I'm going to let Brother Al go ahead and speak at this point.
Oh, yeah. Well, like Lady Tamika said, you know, we've been dating each other. We didn't even realize how long it's been. It's almost been 4 years coming up. And, I saw something that a person talked about on relationships, and I think what a lot of people mess up at is they fall in love with the person but not the relationship. So you have a person who loves this person, but they don't like the relationship. They don't like being around the person. And the man said, fall in love with the relationship, and then the person falling in love with the person is easy. And I didn't understand that. Then I thought about it. I said, you know what? You're right. So I fell in love with our relationship, and falling in love with Tamika was the easy part after that. So I decided to make it official, and I proposed to her, and she told me yes. I appreciate it, and I'm very excited. I'm happy. You know, my first time getting married, and we're looking to just have a long and blessed life together. You know, she helps me so much with studying my Bible, and she knows her word, so she's very patient with me. If I don't understand something, she helps me understand it. And we just work well together. We have fun together. We pray together, and it's just beautiful. You know, when I proposed to her, I had to go into one of my little writing skits. You know, just real quickly, we went to a restaurant. I bought her flowers, and I got the manager and the waitress and them. I got all of them involved, and they came over with the flowers and said we had a delivery. And then I had the lady ask us, hey, so how did y'all meet? That was my opportunity to get Tamika to stand up. And I went into how we was meet. And then the other waitress came and said, oh, you ordered a package and it just got here. So I had the ring in a big box. So she had no clue the ring was in the box. And so when I went to talk about something else, I had the lady cut me off and said, listen, your shoe was untied. I hate to bother you, but that bothers me. And I said, you know, that bothers me too. So I bend down to tie my shoe. Tamika turned around and put the roses on the table. When she turned around, I was already on that one bad knee with the ring, so it couldn't be down there long. And I proposed to her, and she just was lost for words.
Yeah, that's nice. That's so nice.
My head is still in the clouds, but I thank God. You know, we've been talking for the longest time about relationships and honoring God, even in your relationships. And I just appreciate God for who he is, you know. And I tell any woman that, you know, if you believe God, trust and know that he has your best interest at heart. He knows who you are, and he knows how to connect you well. And he does what he does. And when he does it very well.
Amen. 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 And we appreciate your sharing. We want to congratulate you, and we want to give God thanks, you know, as you have talked about relationships on the broadcast with us for a while, you know, just to see, you know, the relationship manifest into the next level. We're giving God thanks. We're praising God for your growth and, you know, the first step in moving closer to, you know, sharing your life together for the rest of your lives. So thank you so much. Congratulations! There you go.
Thank you,
have a blessed day. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you so much for sharing.
No problem. God bless you guys.
Thank you. Oh, so we have a new pray for them today. We're going to do a pray for them today. And where Shantice would have normally spoken, they've already spoken. So we're going to go before the Lord on behalf of Brother Al and Lady Tamika. Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, and we say thank you. Thank you, God, because as even in the opening statements and thoughts, you are so wonderful. You're an awesome God. You're always giving, you're always loving, and you're always kind. And we say thank you for ushering us into this day. You said yes for us today. And we don't take it for granted. We don't, we focus on today. Because that's all we have is right now. And we're giving you thanks for all that you have done to get us to this point this morning. And Lord, as the testimony has been given, you know, as this couple, Brother Al and Lady Tamika, have been dating for 4 years, we lift this relationship up to you. It would be nothing. It is nothing if it is not given to you first. And today we spoke about how we need to put you first, not just in our life, not over our life, but to get that detailed as to make you first in each and every aspect of our life. And as we're talking about making you first in each and every aspect of our life, God, we're lifting them before you so that they can make sure that they put you first in this relationship, that she would not know how to love him and he would not know how to love her unless they first learned how to have that relationship with you. That everything that they do for one another always has you in the forefront. That they think about what you would think about the words that they would say to one another. That they would think about what you would feel and what you think about the way they treat and respond to one another. How they're growing together. Everything with you being in the forefront. And we say thank you for teaching us each and every day that this broadcast, despite the fact that they were separate, but they've learned to grow and they've grown together right here, right before our eyes, God. And we say thank you. Thank you for helping us and allowing us to be on the journey with them. And whatever they have contributed into our life and whatever we've contributed into not only their life but their relationship, we say thank you. We ask you, God, that as they walk their individual journey, as the first relationship that they have is with you, that they would remember to love you the way you have given us to love you. Your son says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That if we can't do that, then there's no way in the world we can love one another here on earth properly, correctly, efficiently, accurately, wholeheartedly. That we would just make sure that whatever we do, we love and give you first. And that way you would bless everything. Your word says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything would be added. Delight yourself in the Lord, and you will give us the desires of our heart. Their desire is to be with one another for the rest of their lives. But unless they delight themselves in you, it's not going to be the best. It might be good, but we don't want good, God. because your word says, I didn't just come to bring you life. I came to bring you life more abundantly. You came to put the fixings, the icing on the cake. Not just to give us the cake, but to just put the icing on the cake and to put the candles on the cake and to blow out the candles and just the whole nine yards. But unless they seek you first, unless they give their all to you first, unless they love you first, unless they're obedient to you first, unless that relationship with you is not in its proper place, that they're not going to get the best out of their relationship. So we're just grateful, God, that they're on this journey of learning you first, putting you first, and that you would bless their relationship. We thank you, God, because they're not 20 years old. They're not senior citizens, but they're not 20 years old. And this is a point of our in our lives where it gets a little difficult because we're set in our own ways and we already have what we want. And, you know, somebody's got to fit in to what we've already molded and shaped. But we're grateful, God, because they've made room for one another. And now the enhancement can begin. So we pray, God, that Brother Al would desire to be the best husband and Lady Tamika would desire to be the best wife, but all under your direction, all under your counsel, all under your guidance, under your tutelage, under your word, and being obedient to you first. And we say thank you. Thank you for knowing them, being a part of the journey, and being blessed to be able to, you know, witness what we've been able to witness. And we pray that we just see them grow. See them grow. See them grow. Watch them grow. Hear them grow. And that they would love you more and more. And in turn, you would bless their relationship. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, we're giving God thanks for just talking about putting him first in our life. You know, when I came across this last night, I was like, this is perfect. This is perfect for where we need to be. You know, how we need to prioritize God in everything. And that's what I appreciated about the listing. It was just intricate. God, that's the word I want to use. It was very intricate. It wasn't like, oh, you know, put God first in your life. No. It talked about every single aspect of our life. And we have to make sure that God comes first. When we wake up in the morning, that prayer is the first thing we do, just like has been said. We talk to God first. You know, first in our reading, you know, when I decided to give my life to the Lord, I've always been a bookworm. Always loved to read. And when I decided to give God first place in my life, I made the decision that I would not read anything before I read my Bible. So no matter if it was an article or if it were a book or whatever have you, that I wouldn't touch it. If I had not read my Bible for that day, then I could not read that, you know, article or book. And that's what we're talking about today. You know, how does God come first in each and every aspect of our life? Our talents. You know, so many people, you know, they crave, they want to make it big. Look at all the entertainers whose lives are a mess right now. Our vocalists, our instrumentalists, who, you know, they started off in the church. And then after a while, church became non-existent because they needed to make the money. Because they crossed over into mainstream. They became R&B pop, you know, and now look at where they are. Only what you do for Christ will last. So, you know, when you take and give your talents to this world is going to chew you up and spit you out. They don't care nothing about you. If you're not the next thing, hot thing smoking, then you don't matter to this world. And that's why God says, you know, don't put everything that you have into what can be destroyed. And that's really what you're doing. You're putting your hands and your life into, you know, man's hands. And they are so fickle. You're hot today, and by 12 o'clock, one little thing happened, you're a mess. You don't even exist to these people anymore. So, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, everything we do, God comes first. Everything we do, God comes first. When we work, are we really working? And I talk about this all the time. You know, Pastor Stephanie, you pray for me to get a job? No. No. I'm sorry. You know, God has given me charge over, you know, how I execute him in your life from my angle. And I'm sorry, I'm not praying that you get no job. I'm looking at how you deal with God one-to-one. You can't even get out the church. You don't pray. You don't read God's word, but I should pray that you get a job. So what, God takes the ninth seat in your life? Because he's already at, you know, number seven. So now he goes even back further? Nah, that's all right. Mm-mm. No. You know, we got to make sure, you know, we give God first placement everywhere, every step in our prayer life, in our reading, in our talents, everything, our money. You know, give up your tithes. We spending money on everything. Oh, these bills got to be paid. I got to pay my bills. Then, no. Who ultimately pays the bills? God is the one who ultimately pays the bills. So if God is ultimately paying the bills, how are you giving to this world and your life and everything else first? When you get that money, you know, one of the young ladies, and I did this when I was working, she's doing it, and I encourage you to do it. You know, you generally, they allow you to have two direct deposits on your job. And I know that because I worked in accounting for well over a decade. And what I would do is I had my direct deposit, my main, because they you have to prioritize it if you have a dollar amount. So if your tithe is $100, that needs to be the first direct deposit. And they'll, no matter what your check is, they'll spit $100 into that account. And then the balance of it goes into your regular account. And someone is doing it now. I did it when I was working. And I haven't worked in over 10 years, 11 years. So this goes to show you how long ago I executed this. Because I wanted to make sure that God got first. And I don't get it all twisted with the rest of my bill money. So try it. Put God first and see how life works for you. You've been listening to Is Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through big time for us, and I want to thank you for hanging out with us today. Please be sure, if you have not already done so, to give your life to God right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, where it's Freestyle Friday and we get to do whatever it is we want to do, God spares. I love you.